we live in a culture that rejects truth. Relativism is the cry of our day. If you claim to have truth, then you are arrogant, you're narrow-minded. If we're going to cling to this truth, it will separate us from the world. We have been entrusted with truth, with the very words of Almighty God. It has power. It will bear fruit. How can we most effectively proclaim truth in our culture today? Suffice to say at this point that we cannot shirk back from this responsibility. We have the truth of Christ entrusted to us, and we will not be silent with the truth because the truth gives life. And we are going to rise up and be a people who preserve that truth and multiply that truth for the generations that come behind us. It is not going to stop with us.
Jesus' trial before Caiaphas ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor. His accusers didn't go inside because it would defile them, and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate, the governor, went out to them and asked, "What is your charge against this man?" "We would not have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted. "Then take him away and judge him by your own law," Pilate told them. "Only the Romans are permitted to execute someone," the Jewish leaders replied. This was to fulfill Jesus' prediction about the way he would die. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked them. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus replied, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. And that's where we've been these last couple weeks and one more segment after this, because there's a troubling trend in what we're going to be talking about today. Last week, we talked about the template of truth and how people have manipulated truth. And when we talked about how America started its moral decline, and of course, you know, Frankie, you know, you had outlined really well how the actual moral decline started in the Garden of Eden, you know. But the moral decline of America, since America wasn't around during the Garden of Eden time, the moral decline actually started when people started to manipulate the word of God in order to justify slavery, civil rights cruelties, and so on and so forth, and then how the Holy Spirit, you know, made clear that the Word of God is truth, and how he, during the civil rights movement, during slavery time, during a lot of times that the Lord used to free slaves, and how he got used Martin Luther King, for example, to bring about major civil change through the consciousness of a document that the Lord was weaved into, unbeknownst to the authors of that document, the Constitution. And so it's we want to bring, in this segment, we want to kind of bring it home a little bit and the actual direct manipulation of the Word of God. Now, I find it real easy how people will get really indignant when somebody takes the Word of God and tries to justify atrocities like slavery, or the beating down of any one particular culture.
Yeah.
But in the same vein, and we're going to try not to mention any names or any church names or anything like that, but the subject matter of people manipulating the word of God for financial gain.
Right.
Which I personally believe is directly a doctrine of demons.
Right.
Now, I know, Frank, you were in our last segment, you were going to talk about that type of manipulation, the doctrine of demons, or seducing spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to be coming from Timothy.
Yep.
Why don't you elaborate real quick for us?
Well, as we just turn over to just take a look at Timothy, I was ending on making a point about how we were talking about this passage in the Gospel according to John, and how if we were to just kind of peruse through the Gospel according to John, that we would see the answer to what the question that was posed to Pilate, right? Or what Pilate posed to Christ. And I was going to go into where Christ kind of defined it, you know, a little bit later, but let's pause there and then jump into this passage in Timothy from Paul that talks about the great apostasy. And so I want to read it. This is 1 Timothy 4, chapter 1 through 5. All right. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits," and other translations, "seducing spirits, and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." That's the 70s.
That's the
urban community. Yeah. "forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." See that? Know the truth. "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." And so one of the things that we were talking about the doctrines of demons and seducing spirits, one of the things that Paul is highlighting for Timothy is that people begins to get away from what God really is coming to do, and he's coming to set things in order. And sometimes as the people of God, we can allow religion, things that we're doing and not doing, take precedent over what biblical principles and biblical purposes are. And so he gets into talking about how they willfully begin to give heed to these seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And then he gets into talking about how they're getting into these things just because of it's something that's something that they want to do and not necessarily what God would have them to do. And as we jump back into John, we can kind of take a look at how Christ was revealing to us. As we look at the Gospels, we can get a picture of Christ's personalities and how he's represented it as God in the Scriptures, and how he talks about how, you know, what that truth is.
Okay. What I want to do is go back to what you said in the passage in Timothy, that template that's looked at there. When he says, "And they will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods."
Yeah.
"But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth."
Mm-hmm.
"Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks, for we know it is made acceptable by the word, by word and prayer." And so the first part I want to talk about is, because we're going to have time to talk about the financial manipulation piece, prosperity gospel, things like that. But what I want to talk about is you have people that are trying to resort now to, well, it's not biblical to eat pork, or
right,
you can't wear this, or you can't do that. And the first thing I want people to understand is that a lot of times people do come to these conclusions because of a personal conviction.
And that's where I was going with it. Because even the Son of God, we turn over to John. We still in John. We can go back to John 7, where Christ is talking, and he's talking about the humility of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians, let this mind be in us, right? And I think this is a part of why we've gotten away, in a sense, from the truth. We can look at John chapter 7, verse 16, where Christ is talking, and it says that Jesus answered, and he's talking about, you know, he's basically trying to witness to the Jews that he is the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the one that everyone was waiting to deliver, that was a prophet like Moses. And he's talking, and he tells them, he says, Jesus answered them, my teaching isn't mine. See, this is the humility of Christ. Him being God, he's telling the Jewish religious leaders that in the people that my teaching isn't mine, but it is the one who sent me. He said, if anyone wants, in verse 17, if anyone wants to do this will, he will understand whether my teaching is from God or if I am speaking on my own. So he right away gives a phrase that's pointing to the humility. He doesn't come to say, follow me because I'm the one. He comes to say that, listen, the truth of the matter is I didn't come in my own, trying to put my own self on top or trying to come and get a name for myself. But I came under the authority of God in humility. So when we think about religion, religion isn't humility. Religion is saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So I'm more spiritual than you are.
And so I think that, and it goes on to that, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. He has not Moses given you the law, yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? And he's saying, you are demon possessed. The crowd answered, why are you trying to kill? Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all amazed, yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though it actually did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs. You circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Now, right. I wanted to make sure we kept that in context for our listening audience. And so I want to go back to the point that you were making, the identifying of a doctrine of demons, as Jesus said here, is somebody that's seeking their own glory.
Exactly.
They're seeking to do something for their own purpose, for their own selfish gain. And so when you hear people talking about, well, I don't eat this because it's unclean. Well, who said it was unclean? According to the Bible, it's not.
Right.
So why are you doing it? Well, I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do. It's like, okay, so you're doing it so that you can feel good about yourself, or are you doing it to sanctify your body personally? Is this the type of life you want to live in a symbolic honoring to God, which God has no problem with? But when you start saying that everybody has to live that way,
right, or
you start saying that if you don't eat this way or you don't live this way or you don't believe this way, and it's not clearly in scripture or in some cases totally contradicts what you're saying in a corporate fashion, then that's a problem. And then that moves into the segue as far as the money and how you have people now who are sitting up here literally preaching all the passage that talks about prosperity, all those that says that the scriptures that talk about, I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly. I mean, I actually had somebody tell me in Isaiah where it says by his stripes in Isaiah 52:53, where it says by his stripes
we are
healed.
Right.
And somebody actually said that means that Christians should never be sick.
And see, this is the issue. And the Lord has really been landing on my heart as far as a burden, as far as we get into the truth of the matter. It's how we, and when I say we, I mean humanity, how we can continue to take God's purposes for humanity and take them and make it man-centered, right? Prosperity, that's making it about us. But when I read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, not Revelations with an S, but Revelation, it's saying the revelation of who Christ is. So the truth began with Christ. Like, who is the Christ that you're serving? Is it the Christ of the scriptures, or is it the Christ that someone has created that you feel that, yeah, that's the one I want to serve? And so in Matthew 24, it talks about that there will be many false Christs. And a lot of times we look at that as being people that's going to say, I'm Christ. But it's really a picture of false prophets or false leaders who are creating a figment of their imagination, the Christ that they want to serve, the Christ of prosperity, the Christ of paying my bills, the Christ of doing all of these things that's going to make my life comfortable. But when I read the scriptures, all disciples are living rough for the gospel, sold out completely.
Yeah, and I'm looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 3, and Paul was, you know, speaking to that, especially when you were saying, Rich, that, you know, it's a inner conviction that people want to live by these falsehoods. But Paul said, I wish you would put up with a little foolishness from me. Yes, you do put up with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, because I have promised you in marriage to one husband to present a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you had not received, or a different gospel which you had not accepted, you put up with it splendidly. So it's like people have got conditioned to want these falsehoods. And Paul was preaching against these super apostles, these false apostles, but yet and still they had something that that touched their inner being, that comfort, that ease. Like you were saying just now, Frank, about, you know, people want this bills paid, money, prestige, power, whatever. Everybody seems to want that at their core. So it's a... it becomes a
idol.
An idol. I want what I want when I want it, right, but at my convenience.
Right.
And that's what this false gospel is preaching to.
Man-centered.
Yes.
But everything that I've studied, and I'm sure we all have, it's all about God, His glory, right? And one of the things that we have to always realize and recognize is that we don't know life without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything is contaminated with sin. And so even the life that we have in mind of the things that we do is still contaminated with sin, because we still can sin without even knowing it, right? But what I love about the Lord and what He's done through His Spirit and His Word, He shows us that all of us was born in a sin prison. And when we look into this gospel that presents Christ as God, He begins to unveil to us that in Him is the truth, and outside of Him, there is no truth. Thus, you have the word in Christ throughout Paul's letters. We have the blessing is in Christ. So as I jump back into Gospel According to John, I go over into chapter 8 where Christ is talking, and He's talking about the topic of truth and freedom. And He says, as He is saying these things, talking about the things that He had said in, early on in 8, He says in the 30th verse of 8, He says, and He was saying these things, many believed in Him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, and here's my point, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Right.
In other translations, it says make you free. So the truth, to get to the bottom line of what the truth is, we have to be associated with His word, which is truth.
Right. And the point of what you brought out, is money has never been the foundation of truth.
Come on.
Or has it ever been an identification that somebody is spouting off the truth?
Mm.
If that's the case, Oprah has all the truth in the world right now.
Wow.
Donald Trump is the truth personified.
Wow.
You got Clinton, truth personified. If money was an indication of truth,
yeah,
then everybody that has billions of dollars is a personification of blessing and truth.
Right.
And at no time, I find it very interesting that especially when it comes to this prosperity, financial prosperity, because which actually started in the 1950s, nobody really knows that. It started to take root because you start when you start telling poor people that all you got to do is this and you'll get money, people gravitate to that.
Right.
People have taken the judgment that God has on people for taking advantage of the poor is incredible. I mean, he sent his own people in exile because of the way they were treating the poor. God is not happy, according to scripture. This is not Richard. According to scripture, is not happy. He says, seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with you. I find it fascinating that the one person that would not qualify to be a blessed or blessing is Jesus Christ himself in the prosperity movement.
Wow.
Because there's he said that he came and did not grab riches or whatever. He was the poorest of poor. He was a tacton.
Let me finish, Apollo.
Let me finish, Apollo.
He was stepping off the throne of all creation and becoming a peasant.
Can I have this? He was a tech. See, y'all don't understand.
That's mind-blowing.
We get excited about this, and now the spirit is moving. Anyway,
go ahead.
He was a tacton. In the King James, they translated it into carpenter, but the literal meaning is hand worker.
Yeah.
He was a field worker hired on a regular basis throughout his life to do work, which goes credence to his parables that he did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people telling poor people today that, hey, all you got to do is sow this financial seed. So I find it fascinating that the Bible clearly says that you know that you are doing God's will because you will produce fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, and so on and so forth. But yet, you're telling these poor people, you're telling people that, hey, the Bible says you should never be sick, so you must not have faith. Mm. Like I said in Isaiah, people talking about, you should never be sick because by the stripes you're healed. Totally taking that out of context. If I'm right, according to Revelation, if you take something out of this book or you teach somebody different, you in trouble. The reality of it is that to manipulate the word of God the way that people do today, it goes right to what Jesus said, I'm going to add to the torment and the plagues in your life, in the life to come. Because what people need to understand is that these are the words of God. And if you, as a human, let's take an example that Jesus gave. If you, as a human, hate to be misquoted, you hate for somebody to misrepresent you or to twist your words and to say things that you didn't say, how much more a loving, powerful, almighty God, how much more angry will he be, or how much more offensive is it to him that you take his word and manipulate it for your own personal selfish gain? Are you serious? Are you absolutely, and you're using it to manipulate people and hurt people, get people to live lives that God never intended them to live by saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. You are putting them back in bondage.
Wow.
And he said he came to set the captives free. When Jesus came, the religious leaders had these people under such stringent
law, it was absolutely hard to bear.
Come on.
It was hard to bear. And so I just want everyone to know that this is a serious thing.
Amen.
To sit up here and manipulate God's word.
So it is.
And think that judgment will not follow.
Now, keep riding with us as we're on our journey. Stay with us. We're going to get to our destination. What is true?
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. You can also like us on Facebook at Captive Journey.
Or you can hit our website at www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or you can hit us through email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or hit us on the telephone, 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.